Hi, everybody, and welcome to Unified, a podcast feed from First Church Belmont Unitarian Universalist. We'll be sharing sermons and stories, special thematic content made new every week. We're so glad you're here, and for more information about who we are and opportunities to grow and deepen, swing by the church on Sundays or check out our website at uubelmont.org. And for now, enjoy this new content.
Do you still feel it? The strength of our web, linked hand in hand? Do you feel that gratitude and celebration for all the love and energy that has been channeled into this community for decade upon decade? Do you still feel that strength of our collective action and wisdom? Truly, this is something that can be felt in this place so often. Yet, for Eloise to offer us a moment to see it, to see the work that often goes unseen, is spectacular. Because this unseen work is the undercurrent of transformation in community. So often it goes unseen, the care that you all offer by showing up on Sunday morning, hearing the joys and concerns on our hearts, attending potlucks that are better than Christmas. I love that. Event fairs, circle dinners, supporting committees, attending meetings, checking in with someone who you haven't seen in a while. I find that so often the most important work that we do in life is unseen. Those moments of processing, the time we spend thinking, listening, feeling, it's unseen. And sometimes it's painful that it's unseen. It can make us feel like we're alone in the work and in the challenges that we face. And at worst, maybe it makes us feel unappreciated and unvalued, perhaps even forgotten. It's so important that we have moments like this one when we notice the unseen work. Because it isn't until we notice it and we honor the role it plays in our lives and in the lives of those we care about that we are empowered to bring ourselves to it in a new way. When we draw awareness to all the unseen work in this community as we are today, we find that thing that comes when we're working for something beyond ourselves, that thing that helps us notice the world beyond us, that it isn't all about us, but even more importantly, that it isn't all up to us. In an excerpt from her poem titled Invisible Work, Alison Luderman writes, "I think all the time about invisible work. I think of the invisible work that stitches up the world day and night, the slow, unglamorous work of healing, the way worms in the garden tunnel ceaselessly so the earth can breathe, whispering and whispering to us long after we have stopped listening. I stop and let myself lean a moment against the blue shoulder of the air. The work of my heart is the work of the world's heart. There is no other art." This invisible work that stitches up the world, the work of healing, the work of my heart is the work of the world's heart. When I think of healing work in the world's heart, I think of Trisha Hersey, a black theologian who's using her vast institutional savvy and energy to drive change, but in a way that's almost intentionally unseen, but bringing it into the scene. She calls herself the Knapp Bishop. And in 2016, she founded the Knapp Ministry, which frames the importance of rest as a racial and social justice issue, and calls rest a form of resistance to white supremacy and other forms of oppression. This is the kind of work that has gone unseen for so long and still does go unseen if we aren't careful. But it's also the work of transformation. Hersey has made it clear that rest is the only way to, quote, disrupt the black exhaustion which perpetuates experiences of oppression. When faced with exhaustion, it is not possible, not feasible, to do the work of liberation and resistance. In fact, when we're exhausted, we risk perpetuating a different system of unseen work, the systematically imposed racism and oppression that plays a role in each of our lives. Hersey helps us see that one way to unearth this ever-present system is to be aware of this narrative that flows through us and around us constantly. The narrative that sneakily judges us by our ability to do enough. We hear it in the shoulds. I should be able to do more. I should have finished that task. I should feel better. Of course we should, and maybe we would, but we can't. That's why we didn't. And won't we be able to when we want to if we allow the judgmental expectations that come from this place beyond and within us to control how we think of ourselves? We have to ask why. We have to give ourselves the grace of curiosity. And to do that, Hersey tells us, we must pause. We must rest. Rest, yet again, is so often unseen and unspoken, as if we can only be valued by others in our productivity. Hersey has a wonderful practice to counter this narrative. In Atlanta, Georgia, she offers pop-up Knapp collective experiences. Yeah. Okay, so imagine Parish Hall with yoga mats laid out randomly throughout the room. That's the setup. And she invites people in to a 30-minute collective nap. Suddenly, rest is made visible. And through that visibility, from that awareness, we can begin to transform our own values surrounding work and rest. It's the slow, unglamorous work of healing. It's the work that forces us to look around and remember what it feels like to be part of this interdependent web. What it feels like to let ourselves rely on others and let others rely on us. When we rest and we remember, we can also find time to appreciate some of the magic around us, sometimes quite literally. Tomorrow, we'll be able to witness a total eclipse. Or I suppose for those of us who are going to stay in the Boston area, we'll witness 92% of a total eclipse. And it turns out these total eclipses, they happen every 18 months or so. What's unique about this one, just like the one 7 years ago, is that we, those near the path of totality, we get to see it. We get to appreciate it. And honestly, it took me a minute to appreciate the event that's going to take place tomorrow. See, there's part of me that yearns to wax poetic about the world we live in, the trees, the sun, and the moon. But it takes effort to appreciate these things. And sometimes that energy isn't there. To quote one of my favorite comedians, Jacqueline Novak, it can get to be too much just night after night, curled in a windowsill, seeing the moon as if it's the first dang time. Yet, we are reflecting this morning about the power of seeing. The transformation that's possible when we delve into unseen realms, when we draw our awareness to the structures that hold us, the community that holds us, the network of small connections, tiny threads that give to us what we need and uses what we can give. It's like the mycelium network that lies beneath the forest floor, the network of small fungal threads intertwined with one another that are made evident when we see the fruit of the mushroom pop up through the earth. It seems more and more people are talking about mycelium these days, which I think is fantastic because it's a perfect example of how non-human beings can show us the way forward. Often I hear about the way these underground networks of mycelium live in the root of trees and create, this is great, a wood wide web. Sending cues to and from tree to tree, biochemically or electrically. It's referred to as mycorrhizal network, mycofungus, rhiza, root. And these signals can include nutrient transfer. When one tree has something to give and another is in need, the mycorrhizal network allows them to share that resource. And hearing about this absolutely intensified my admiration of trees, which I had not thought was possible, as I've approached many a tree similar to the moon, as if it were the first time anyone had noticed the way the leaves glisten in the sun and the melody they sing as the wind whistles past them. So I was surprised and excited to learn recently that the mycorrhizal network actually lives in 90% of all land plant roots. And there are even some plants that are entirely reliant on these mycorrhizal networks to get nutrients because they don't photosynthesize. One of these plants that relies on the sugars from tree roots instead of through photosynthesis is a ghost pipe. The name reflects the color of the plant, which is white. It contains none of that green chlorophyll that enables photosynthesis. I've seen them many times in Blue Hills Reservation. Maybe you've seen them too. It's their stem and flower are waxy white, and each stem has one flower which looks downward, downtrodden, with scalloped petals. I have to admit, I wax a bit. I can't help it. My will for humility falters under the hefty temptation of personification. Do you think the ghost pipe was sad because they saw the grasses up on the sunny hill so green, so self-sufficient, and they felt like they too had to figure out how to do it all themselves? How to survive on their own? But they couldn't. They had to rely on the network below them and the trees above them. Then, one day, they realize that those grasses that seemed like they had their whole life together were so lush and vibrant because they were connected to the network too. And the mycorrhizae increased how much water they could absorb, and that allowed them to thrive. And when the grasses thrived, they were able to prevent erosion and helped others survive. I wonder what the ghost pipe thought then. Maybe they realized that because they don't need the sun, for the very same reason they need support from the network, they can thrive in shady spots where many others can't. And because of the downward-facing flowers protecting their nectar from the dilution of rain, the bees and other insects that visit their well can access the transformed sugars that they take from the hidden network below. They would realize that they first found this network because they were looking for something they needed. And now they're part of something so much bigger than themselves. And they're a meaningful, necessary part of it. They belong to it. If everyone who stood up earlier is indeed a plant, or as Nate told us, a flower, and all of our hands represent this mycorrhizal network that connects us, that means that when we're there for one another, when we show up Sunday morning, hear the candles, when we show up to meetings, when we call and reach out, when we connect ourselves and make our connection known, then we are part of a system that offers us constant reminders that we're not alone in making everything happen, that we cannot do it all alone. And we're offered the opportunity to pick up what we need and give what we can. What is the thing that ignites you? If you relate to the ghost pipe right now, if you need to be nourished, what is the thing that nourishes you? If you relate to the ghost pipe, they are here to remind you that with exactly who you are in this moment, and exactly what you bring, you are a gift to this community. How can we be a place where you feel your gifts are valued and valuable? If you are a grass luscious and thriving, how might your energy feed back into this community? How might you nourish others? And if you are a tree, oh, if you are a tree with leaves glistening in the sun, you have been a pillar of this community. You are seen, and many people rely on you. How can we help remind you that even as a tree, it's not all up to you? How can we remind you that we're here to nourish you too? Today, may we all be reminded of the strength of our web. May we use that strength to hold one another in moments of rest and renewal and resistance. May we celebrate all the love and energy that is channeled through this community every moment. May it be so, and amen.